Throughout the United States and around the world, from Walterboro, South Carolina, the international broadcast, The Overcomer, is on the air. This is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God, projecting the message and the prophecy of the coming kingdom of heaven. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness unto all men, and then shall Jesus come. Ladies and gentlemen, the King is coming. We greet you everywhere, throughout all the nation and the world, and especially you listening on WLAC out of Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to conclude today the fifth part of the message, Why I Speak with Tongues. We trust that you'll stay tuned as we conclude that message on today's broadcast. Thank you, child. Appreciate the song. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. So many people say, I don't understand what you're saying when you talk in tongues. And that's exactly what the Bible says would be the case. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue is not talking to you. He's talking to God. We've been asking and answering the question, who speaks with tongues? Why, the believers do. Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. When do they speak with tongues? Why, when they get filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and 4. And when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to speak with tongues. Why? Why? Because the Bible said we would, and because the Bible prophesied that we would. Mark 16, 17, Isaiah 28, 11 and 12. And the most profound proof of why the church of Jesus Christ and the saints of God should speak with tongues is because Jesus spoke with tongues. Mark chapter 5, verses 40 and 41, Mark 7, verse 31, Mark 15, verse 34. The purpose of tongues, first of all, tongues is not learned. It's a gift. It's given. It's given for personal profit. That's right. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It has a purpose, and that's to strengthen you. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, the Bible says, edifieth himself. That's what the Scripture says. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 4. Let me read it for you. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth, strengthens, builds up himself. And that is important. Nowhere in the Scriptures are we instructed that tongues has no value, has been done away with, and is not to be used today. The Bible teaches exactly the opposite. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 12 and 15, what is it then Paul says? Paul spoke with tongues. Jesus spoke with tongues. Peter spoke with tongues. This is 14 years after the day of Pentecost, and Paul still says he speaks with tongues. He even said he prays with tongues. And in verse 15, he's finally giving a summation of how tongues is used in the life of a Spirit-filled believer. He says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Now, mind you, when you pray with tongues in the Spirit, your understanding is unfruitful. You are not praying to men or talking to men or singing to men. You're singing to God. And Paul says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray in tongues, making melody in my heart unto the Lord. And then I will also pray with the understanding. He even says, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, what he meant by that is, he'll sing a song like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, or Power in the Blood, and men understand what he's singing about. But if he sings in tongues, they won't understand. But Paul says, I will not give up the one to do the other, or replace the one with the other. I will do them both. The thing is to learn when to do it and how to do it, for making it to be profitable first to you and then next for the body of Christ. Now, in verses 18 and 19, he goes on to say this, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet, in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Now, is Paul doing well with tongues? Absolutely not. He's just simply saying that when you're preaching or you're speaking to edify the body of Christ, then you should speak in a language that they can understand with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He says, now I'm going to speak in tongues at the right place because I'm going to talk to God. And that's as simple as that. Now, in verses 22 and 23, wherefore, tongues are for a sign necessary, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now look how Paul answers this question about speaking in tongues. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and they all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, they'll say you're mad. They don't see what's going on. Now, if one prophesies or preaches of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, because that's the method that God has used, and there come in one that believeth not or unlearned, he is convinced of all, and he is judged of all. Now, Paul is simply saying, there's a proper and a scriptural and a biblical and an edifying way of using tongues. Learn how to use the gift to edify first yourself, and then how to be edified to where you then can strengthen someone else. Has tongues been done away with? Is it no more to be used? 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 30. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, Paul has put that into the form of a question, and because he has, we automatically assumed that the answer is no. Well, there was no answer there. Let's look at it further. Has tongues been done away with? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. Listen to it carefully now. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Well, have we stopped receiving prophecies today? Have we stopped seeking knowledge today? No. So therefore, tongues, it's just as much a part of knowledge and prophecy of the church world today than it ever was. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And God hath set some in the church. First, were the apostles. Secondarily, the prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. So they are gifts and callings that are in the church, and they're there to edify the believers and to be signs to the unbelievers. Tongues has not been done away with. Don't let no one fool you with that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, when you come to worship, you brothers, you church of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come together, when you come, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. He does not say you should not speak with tongues. He just says learn to do it to edify, to be a strength to the church, to yourself and to others. Verse 27, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, I want you to notice. He didn't say, I don't want anybody speaking in an unknown tongue. No matter what you preachers say, Paul did not say that. The scriptures do not imply that. And you have twisted and warped the scriptures to your own thinking by saying that. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, one right after another. And let one interpret. Now the only admonition when you should be silent and not use tongues is if there be no interpreter. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church. And let him speak to himself and to God. Because he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Ladies and gentlemen, tongues is a very viable application of the Holy Spirit in one's life. How many times I have used that glorious gift when my spirit has been overwhelmed and my heart has been disheartened within me, and I really didn't know how to pray. I really didn't know what words to use. and I would get alone with God, or sometimes in a place of worship, and the Spirit will then take possession of my inner being, and out of my mouth would come these words that would magnify and glorify God. I remember one time when God even used me to speak in a language that absolutely amazed an unbeliever. I was preaching in the city of Boston, and all at once I burst forth with a few lines of speaking in tongues during the service, and then I went back to preaching. I just did it. It came as the Spirit gave me utterance. As the service was over, there was a Yiddish man, a Jewish man in the back, and he was beside himself. And as I made my way towards him, he ran up to me with all kinds of excitement. And he said to me, where did you learn Yiddish? I said, what are you referring to? He said, I came into the service, and as I sat down, I heard you speak in my language. You speak perfect Yiddish, and you told me about the Messiah, the Christ. Where did you learn that? I said, I'm sorry, friend. I didn't know what I was saying. My understanding was unfruitful. But you spoke Yiddish. See, God caused me to speak a language that I did not know, an unknown, an other tongue. The hearer heard it in his own language. It was a sign to the unbeliever. Now, tongues has been misused, like praying, shouting, dancing, healing, preaching, doctrines. They all have their misapplications and their false appropriations, but they all have been ordained of God. And with the righteous instruction and leadership of the Holy Spirit, they are all valuable and important to the child of God. I hope that I have settled the issue. Christians, Spirit-filled, God-fearing, will speak with tongues. Yeah, but there's so many that don't live right. I understand that. But with God's help and the Holy Spirit burning in my soul, I intend to live like God would have me to live. And then you're not going to say that tongues is wrong because my life is wrong. Now, that may not appeal to most of you, but I would that you all speak with tongues. I would that you would all learn how to talk to God in a language that you don't control all the time with your mind, but the Holy Spirit will make intercession for you with groanings that cannot be uttered. I'd like you to write for this entire message, Why I Speak with Tongues. We'll send it to you upon request. Send your generous offering for the support of this ministry when you write. Your gift will help me pay for time here on WLAC Radio or whatever radio station you listen to us on. I would like to direct my remarks to our listeners on WLAC. We need your help if we are to continue. We are negotiating now, hoping to get 1 hour a night on this station. Don't slack up. We are so close to the finish line, to the end of this age, to the climax of prophecy, and to the return of Christ. You will want to hear the voice of this last day prophet of God. In spite of all odds and oppositions, God still grants to us an open door that the Word of God would have free course. Send your letter this week. If you want the tape on Why I Speak with Tongues, mention that when you write. Address your letter to me. My name, Brother Stair, STAIR. That's how you spell my name. And that's Post Office Box 691. Brother Stair, Post Office Box 691, Walterboro, 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 South Carolina. And the zip code is 29488, USA. That's Brother Stair, Post Office Box 691, Walterboro, South Carolina. And the zip code is 29488. Our November edition of The Overcomer is in the mail. Watch for it. If you don't receive one, ask for it when you write. We'll be glad to send a copy to you. The broadcast is heard 24 hours a day on satellite radio. We can send you a satellite system, or if you live within 400 or 500 or 600 miles of our office, we have brothers who can come and set it up for you. For just an offering of $700, we will set it up. If you'd like us to send it to you and you put it up, $450, and we will have a satellite sent right to your door by UPS. When you get it set up, you can hear the international broadcast 24 hours a day right there in your home. Anytime you turn it on, you will hear us broadcasting from here in South Carolina just as clear as FM radio. You do not need a television to have the satellite system. It will come like a radio audio into your home. If you'd like to have some more information, you write and ask for information on the satellite system. Address your letter to me, Brother Stair, Post Office Box 691, Walter Barrel, South Carolina, zip code 29488. Or better, Stair, you may call. You may call my office between 9 and 5. Call only between 9 and 5. Please, only between 9 and 5, Monday, Sunday through Friday. The number is area code 803-538-3892. That's area code 803-538-3892. Call that number only between 9 and 5. If you'd like to get through to the radio room and leave a message or be on the air, that number is area code 803-538-4202. You may call that number anytime, 803-538-4202. And now, my dear friends, as I have said for many years now, and it's soon to be a final pronunciation, the restoration of all things is about to be fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and Jesus Christ is coming in your lifetime. He said it, and he cannot lie, and all the signs are pointing to his glorious return from heaven in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all of them who know not God and that obey not the gospel of Christ. He is coming in your lifetime. This is the last generation. Prepare to meet your God. Maranatha. Throughout the United States and around the world, from Walter Barrel, South Carolina, the international broadcast, The Overcomer, is on the air. This is the voice of the last day prophet of God, projecting the message and the prophecy of the coming kingdom of heaven. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness unto all men, and then shall Jesus come. Ladies and gentlemen, the King is coming. Everyone, everywhere, throughout all the nation and the whole world, as we simulcast again on powerful 1510 WLAC, Nashville, Tennessee, and WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio, throughout the nation and the whole world. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness unto all nations, and then shall Jesus come. This day is this scripture being fulfilled in your hearing. One voice, the voice of the last day
prophet of God, preparing a people for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will want to be sure to mark on your little pad the place on the dial where you find this broadcast coming into your home every day, wherever you may be, throughout the nation and the whole wide world. You'll want to mark the time, because as we are watching accelerate quickly before us, the climax of the age, the times and seasons are upon us. You yourself, Paul says, know perfectly, brethren, you yourselves, nobody else may know, but you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. It doesn't say he will come as a thief in the night to those who are of the day, because we will not be overcome by the night. We have a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, and we walk in the light. Therefore, we are not in darkness. Mark chapter 16. And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, declares, I would that you all would speak with tongues. And he said, just in case that you think that it's wrong to speak with tongues, he said, I thank my God, that I speak with tongues more than you all of you combined, have not yet learned the validity and the purpose and the plan of speaking with tongues. And Paul said, I thank God I can do it. I thank God I have this miraculous spirit language. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Hallelujah. Why do you speak with tongues? I'm continuing the message, why I speak with tongues. If you remember the first part of the message, I declared to you who would speak with tongues. I told you I was going to deal with who, when, why, and the purpose and the intent of tongue talking. I answered the question very clearly. Who speaks with tongues? Why, them that believe. Well, how many? Why, all of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Them, they, and all. All who believe on Christ should be filled with the Spirit. And when do they speak with tongues? When they are full of the Holy Ghost. When they are filled. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And as a result, they began to speak with other tongues, because the Spirit now had full possession and including the control of their tongue. That is a fact. Ladies and gentlemen, you say, Brother Stair, do I have to speak with tongues to receive the Holy Ghost? No. The answer is emphatically no. But you ought to be filled with the Holy Ghost, who will then speak with another tongue. Did you hear what I said? Do I have to speak with tongues, as so many teach, to be filled with the Holy Ghost? No. But you have been charged to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And when you are full, filled, running over, you will speak with tongues. Now, I went on yesterday and told you who and when. Today, I even gave you some reasons. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 said, these signs will follow believers. They will speak with tongues. Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12 says, with a people of a stammering tongue, stammering lips, and another tongue, this is the method by which I will even speak unto my people. Now, one more point before I go on into the purpose of speaking in tongues. One reason why we ought to speak with tongues is because Jesus spoke with tongues. Jesus, my friends, is our example. What he did, we do. How he walks, we walk. He became our example. Someone says, where in the world do you get the idea that Jesus spoke with tongues? Well, we find this subject of tongues exposed and preached predominantly in the book of Mark. Several incidences in the book of Mark that is outstanding as far as speaking with tongues. In Mark chapter 5 and verse 40, and they laughed him to scorn. This is when Jesus came in to the little room where the little damsel had died. He came in and said, why are you making all of this fuss? The little girl's not dead. She just sleeps. And they laughed him. Can you imagine mourners laughing? They laughed him to scorn. So what did he do? He put them all out. Wow. Can you picture anybody telling you that Jesus put anybody out? Hey, come on. That's not the way they preach it today. They preach that he's trying to bring everybody in. But these scorners, these mockers, ladies and gentlemen, he put them out. It says, and when he had put them, it didn't say he asked them to leave. It didn't say he instructed them to get out. The Bible said he put them out, all of them. He took the father and the mother, the damsel, and them that were with him, and he entered in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Dilithii, come I. Dilithii, come I. Dilithii, come I. Dilithii, come I. Somebody said, well, he was just speaking in the language of that day. No, he wasn't. This wasn't a language that could be translated. Human languages are not interpreted, my friends. When you go to a place and you speak in a language and someone comes to relate what you said to the people of their time, they are translators, not interpreters. They translate. They say what you say in the equivalent of the language to which they are relating to. That is called translators. This scripture was not translated. It was not spoken. This word was not spoken in a language that everyone there could understand or anyone could understand. Why? It was a spirit language. It had to be interpreted. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Dilithii, come I. Dilithia, come I. Sounds like speaking in tongues to me. It had to be interpreted. Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Now before you get bent all out of shape, I ask you a question. Here is the writer writing. We get the translation in English. Yet in English, they have to put in some strange sounding words, which then says it was translated or interpreted to be, damsel, I say unto you, arise. Why didn't you just read it like this? Why didn't the Holy Ghost just do it like this? Listen to me carefully. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Why is that not just put in there if that's what he said and everyone could understand? Simply because he was speaking in a spirit language. And the only interpretation that could come would have to come by the Holy Spirit. So he said, Talithiai, come I, Talithiai, come I, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Why did he do that? Because the little girl's spirit had already left her body. She was dead as far as people were concerned, but here was the one who had the keys of death and hell and the grave. Here was the one who had the power of life and death. So, being God in spirit as well as in flesh, he went into the spiritual realm and spoke in the spiritual language to the girl's spirit that had already left her. Talithiai, come I, damsel, your spirit, I speak to you, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. He spoke to the spirit that had left the girl who had gone back to the father, and the spirit of the dead child responded and came back. In Mark chapter 7, verse 31, let me read for you again. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came onto the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf, and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. He took him aside from the multitude. Again, he gets away from the unbelievers and the doubters. And he put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue and looked up to heaven, and he sighed and saith unto him, Ephratah, 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 Ephratah. Yeah, which meaneth be opened. Again, I ask you, why does the Holy Spirit put such a strange sounding word in there in this translation? Why did it just say like this? And he looked up to heaven, and he sighed and said unto him, be opened. Huh? Why did he do that? Simply because the man himself had no faith, because he could not hear, and faith comes by hearing. And this was a demonic spirit. It was a spiritual warfare. So Jesus again went into the spiritual realm, used the spiritual language, and commanded the demon spirit to loose its hold, be opened. And of course, straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. I want you to notice in both this scripture and in the one preceding that we talked about in Mark 5, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and he commanded that something should be given her to eat. And in this one here, in Mark 7, his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain, and Jesus again charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he's done all things well. He is moving into a spiritual realm that most of them have no comprehension. Now, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, there is a third witness that Jesus spoke with tongues. In Mark chapter 15, and verse 34, and at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, Lama sabachthanin? Elio, Lama sabachthanin? Elio, Lama sabachthanin? Which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There were many sayings that Jesus mentioned and said on the cross. One is, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Another was, I thirst. Another was, behold, woman, thy son, behold, John, your mother. Jesus spoke many things on the cross. Yet, when it came to this particular time, he spoke in a different language. Not a language that could be translated by those who stood by, but a language that could only be interpreted by one who would understand it, and that one is the Holy Ghost. What had happened here? At this precise moment, with the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross, God had laid on him the iniquity of us all, and then God turned his face away from this horrible sight of his son hanging on the cross. No more just ordinary intercession could account here. It was going to take intercession by the Holy Spirit, who had access to the Father, to get through. And so Jesus, at this precise time, raises up his head, moves into the spiritual realm, and cries, Elio! Elio! Lama sabachthanin? And it's now being interpreted by the writer, who is writing under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh unto God. Jesus had lost contact with the Father at this time. Up until this point in his life, the Father had been present in every move and every act he had ever done. And now, because of your sins and my sins, the Father's face has been turned away, because the Holy God cannot, does not, and will not ever condone or look upon sin. In that hour, Jesus used the spirit language, Elio, Lama sabachthanin, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In just a matter of time, the precious blood that was flowing from the wound on his head, from the crown of thorns, from the plucking of his beard, from the beating of his back, with his arms stretched up, and the blood running down his arms, down his neck, down his back, down over his body, it wasn't long that his precious body was covered with the blood, the cleansing stream. I see. I plunged, and oh, it cleanseth me. Oh, praise the Lord. It cleanseth me. As that precious blood began to flow over his body, it began to cover your sins and my sins. As that blood covered the iniquity that he bore in his own body, and his body was now covered with the precious sinless blood, he now could look up and change his prayer back to where people could understand. No more talking in tongues at this time now. He cries, Father, not God. He's back on oneness with the Father, intimacy now. Instead of calling him my God, he now cries, Father, it is finished. It's done. It's taken care of. The blood has covered. It's sinless blood. Father, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And his body went limp. And he died. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone. They took his body down, laid him in the tomb, and on the third day he arose. Up from the grave he arose, like a mighty conqueror of his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives. He lives forever with his saints to reign. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living. Makes no difference what men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time I need him, he's always near. Why do I speak with tongues? Because Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my example, when he needed to speak to the Father God, spoke with tongues. Ladies and gentlemen, I would that you all would speak with tongues. I really do. Praise the Lord. Everywhere, let us give God the praise for his unspeakable gift, his eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm preaching a message on the subject, why I speak with tongues. On the next broadcast, I will discuss with you its purpose. Why is tongue talking vital and important for the hour in which we live? No, my friends, it has not been done away with. God has not done away with anything. In fact, we have been told in the Bible to covet earnestly the best gifts, to desire spiritual gifts. Tongue talking, a viable sign from God that men have become possessed with the Holy Ghost. Well, tongue talking is of the devil. I would caution you to be very careful what you say. There are people who are filled with the devil who talk in tongues. They pray. They sing. They worship. they do all things that God has given to His people to do. But that does not make worship or prayer or tongue talking or praising in itself wrong. It just means they do it wrong or do it from a wrong source. They hold the truth of God in unrighteousness. Pray not as the hypocrite, Jesus said. You don't stop praying. Don't worship as the people who worship in vanity, but you keep on worshiping. Don't speak in tongues and live like hell and do ungodly things, but don't stop speaking in tongues. Let not your good be evil spoken of. This broadcast is maintained by the faithful support of you who love truth and have received a witness in your spirit that you are listening to the last day prophet of God. I need to have your support, your prayer request, and your love gift. You'd love this broadcast to continue on your station, and I need to hear from you this week. My earnest desire is that all of the people of God who listen and by the sovereign will of God are drawn to this broadcast, if you would pray. I urge you, pray first. Father, would you have me to help Brother Stair? Would it be my blessing, God, to sustain and uphold the hands of this prophet? Then you do what he tells you to do. There are many that God is speaking to send $1,000. Hear his voice and obey. My mailing address is Brother Stair, S-T-A-I-R. Post Office Box 691. Post Office Box 691 in Walterboro, South Carolina, zip code 29488 in the United States of America. Until the next broadcast, this is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God. To mankind throughout this nation and throughout all the world, the restoration of all things is about to be fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, and Jesus Christ is coming in your lifetime. This is the last generation. Prepare to meet your God. Maranatha.
And he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings. And Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever, forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords, King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. King of kings and Lord of lords, hallelujah.
Throughout the United States and around the world, from Walterboro, South Carolina, the international broadcast, The Overcomer, is on the air. This is the voice of the Last Day Prophet of God, projecting the message and the prophecy of the coming kingdom of heaven. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world as a witness unto all men, and then shall Jesus come. Ladies and gentlemen, the King is coming. We greet everyone everywhere throughout all of the United States and on WLAC out of Nashville, Tennessee. We're going to be including and continuing today with the message on why I speak with tongues. I urge you to stay with me, if you will, here on the broadcast today. Why I speak with tongues. I was sitting in my office the other night, and little Naomi was there rehearsing a song. She's got another song she'd like to sing, and we're going to try to help her to get it. And in the meantime, we're going to bring Naomi to sing for you today a song that she has sung so many times and has been a blessing to every one of you throughout the nation and around the world. Listen as little Naomi comes to sing, Love Lifted Me. With tongues. That's the message that we've been preaching. We've answered the question, who speaks with tongues? We've answered the question, when do we speak with tongues? Now we're trying to go into in depth with why we speak with tongues. On a preceding broadcast, you heard me mention that one of the reasons why is because Jesus spoke with tongues. Now I have this message. We will have it on a cassette where you can order it and listen to it carefully in your home again. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him.
Howbeit, in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Now, does that sound like a prohibition that tongues has been done away with? You mean to tell me that we, the people of God, do not have a form of communication with our God? Paul said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. You mean Paul was a tongue talker? He spoke with tongues? Absolutely. He actually said to the Christian church, forbid not to speak with tongues. Tongues is such a valuable gift given to men, ladies and gentlemen, that Paul spends a great deal of time talking about speaking with tongues. Now let me just give you a quick recap. Who speaks with tongues? These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. Who speaks with tongues? Believers. When do they speak with tongues? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. So they began to speak with tongues when they were filled or received the Holy Ghost. Paul laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So my dear friend, who speaks with tongues? The believers. When do they speak with tongues? When they are filled with the Holy Ghost. How often do they speak with tongues? As often as they get filled or full of the Holy Ghost. Why do we speak with tongues? Because the Bible says we would. Mark 16, they shall speak with new tongues. The Bible prophesied we would. Isaiah 28, verses 11 and 12. For with a people of stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to my people. Why do we speak with tongues? Because Jesus spoke with tongues. Mark 5, verse 40 and 41. Mark 15, verse 34. Mark 7, verse 31. What is the purpose of it? First of all, you don't learn tongues. It is not something you sit down and learn like speaking Chinese or Japanese or Spanish or German. That debunks the doctrine that tongues is speaking in another language. They did not speak in another language known to men on the day of Pentecost. They did not do that. They spoke in an unknown language. It was not known by other men. They spoke in other tongues. Tongues that they did not know. They did not learn to speak in all the different languages in order to convey the message of the gospel to the people. The miracle was on both sides of the fence, so to speak. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And the Bible said that the devout men who were there from out all the nations, various languages, were amazed, because as a man was up there speaking under the inspiration and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, every single one of them, even though they had different languages, understood them in their own language. So that does not mean, friends, that Peter, when he was preaching in 15 different languages. He was just speaking in a language of the Spirit utterance, and everyone hearing in their own language. What a miracle. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, it reads like this. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, you see, tongues is not learned. You do not learn to speak with tongues, and you do not apply yourself to learn to speak in... That's interpretation, or that is called translation, so to speak. When you learn Spanish and then you translate it, or you learn a German and you translate English into German, that is translation when you learn other languages. The Holy
Spirit speaks in a language not known to men. And then an interpretation of what the Spirit is saying is granted to men so their understanding can be fruitful. So the purpose, my friends, is not to seek God for the ability to translate into other languages. This is a spirit language, and its purpose is to bless you. Let me go on. It is given for a personal profit, for personal edification. Read carefully. For the 7th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Do you understand that? Do you grasp what he's saying here? When God grants a gift for you to have and a manifestation of the Spirit, the first person that ought to be edified, the first one that ought to be strengthened is you. It is given to you for your profit, for your growth, for your strength. As the Scripture says many times, the husbandman must first be a partaker of the fruit. That's why Jesus even experienced speaking in tongues. Now, it's given for personal profit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1, it says, follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. The word prophesy, you remember the Scriptures tell us that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And Paul's saying here, it's nice to have all of these gifts, and you ought to covet them. You ought to desire to have all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in your life, but rather that you have the testimony of Jesus Christ foremost and above all, because everything else has no value to it at all unless you are a witness that you are a child of God and that you have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So Paul says, follow after charity. Desire spiritual gifts. But rather, more important, that you prophesy. And remember, again, I tell you, that the testimony that Christ